This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, Vianna's going to be passing out my notes, and I have my notes pretty comprehensive. Sometimes I let gaps in so you can stay alert and fill in the gaps, but this time I wanted to have something that I would be sure everyone would have on hand for future reference. Like Vianna said, I was helped a lot. I think I first heard Jean Lush speaking on Focus on the Family with James Dobson years ago, and probably through that I ordered her book and got it, because the things she said I could just relate to. At that time I was starting to realize that I think I was probably getting into perimenopause, and it just seemed like my mood swings were stronger, and it just helped me to know this is part of life for women. So I recommend this book, Emotional Phases of a Woman's Life by Jean Lush. She was an Australian lady who was a counselor to many women and has now died, but her work continues to bless me. I'm going to want volunteers as I go, and so especially for some of you in the front, when I call on you, if there be somebody that would be this list, and then later, okay, great, and then later someone for that list. So we're going to be, it's a good thing in the afternoon to volunteer to help to stay awake. I'm going to also ask for a few verses to be read. I think most of you have your notes now. So have you ever wished you weren't a woman? Yeah. I remember, I think I was in my teens when I was just thinking, oh, I wish I was a guy. It didn't last for a long period of time, but I think I just saw, maybe I was feeling like they have more power. I don't know what it was at that time. But then as we grow and mature and start having periods, they don't always seem very convenient. And I'm really glad that I lived in a time when my mother explained to me, or maybe it was more my sisters. I was from a large family, and I was right at the bottom of five girls in a row. I'm the youngest of five girls in a row, so I learned things from them. I'm so glad, because I think it would have been terrifying to have been introduced to my monthly period like my mother had been. I don't think she even knew what was happening to her. But I just encourage you as mothers to tell your daughters before they get to the age where they might start, because they need to know. It's just part of life. It's part of life that can seem unhandy, but like I say, and from Jean Lush's book, it's part of a beautiful thing in us that makes us mothers. It can make us mothers. It can make us, if we never do marry and become mothers, it can make us more nurturing. The things that happen in our bodies at that time. And like roses, sometimes we have to have a few thorns that go with the beauty. And part of that is the downward parts of the cycle that make it harder for us to be positive. But during those times, just like Paul did, he had to turn to God's grace to help him to get through the thing that he called his thorn in the flesh. So maybe this is part of our thorn in the flesh for some of us. I know it really varies from woman to woman, you know, how much these cycles affect us. Some women just seem to breeze through life very much even keeled. But I definitely had PMS, premenstrual syndrome. I definitely did. And I think at least 40% of women do. And if you don't have that, maybe you'll have more mood swings as you're getting closer to menopause. So we get affected by our hormones one way or the other, it seems. Okay, I would like to start getting into the whole thing of the menstrual cycle. I look at the group here, and there's a wide variety of ages. So some of you have been through all this, you're finished, and some of you are very much in the younger spectrum of dealing with it. But this is the section, Entering Womanhood, which starts when we start having our period. We're thought of as young ladies then. I'm very thankful that in our culture, we don't assume full responsibility for womanhood at that time. In some cultures, after they have their first period, they are considered marriageable. And marriages are arranged for them. But I'm so glad that we're given more time to grow up and mature. Okay, so for a woman who is in that part of life, I'm going to stand on this side, and will you be the first list there? this part. And I'll wait to make some more comments until after you come up and read that. You might have to come up and read it. It's pretty small.
All right.
These are characteristics of what's happening in her moods at that time.
So week one, rising estrogen levels. Self-directed, disciplined, assertive, tries to motivate others, independent, optimistic, self-confident, positive, outgoing, extroverted, high self-expectations, busy manic, task-oriented, disciplined, purposeful, well-focused, very coordinated, reasonable, overly ambitious, sociable, aware of sexual feelings. Some women carry over gloomy attitudes from fourth week for a short time, and then a sense of well-being follows quickly.
Thank you. So here's what's happening in her hormone levels. We're largely impacted during that time of our lives by estrogen, which is the dotted line, and progesterone, which is the solid line. But if I were to put this line straight up through here, this section would represent when your period starts. So your estrogen drops a little bit, and then it starts climbing. And that climb, that starting to climb of the estrogen, gives us a lot of positivity and energy, and we feel confident, and our mood changes for when it starts dropping. Now, for some ladies, it drops a little bit first. And I think for one of my daughters, it definitely did, because it seemed like about day three of her period, she was pretty unbearable. But see, these things help us to understand each other and our daughters when we know what's happening. I could kind of predict that's going to be a hard day. Okay, so if this is one of us, we might be, out of the whole month, we might be able to get more projects done that week than any other week, especially toward the end when it's really climbing. We just have more energy and positivity. Okay, does someone want to read what's starting to happen the second week, just this column?
I can.
Thank you.
Blue skies overhead, good, warm. Summer-like feelings, happy, hopeful, and easygoing. Not depressed, has a sense of well-being, inner strength. Sets more realistic goals than during first week. Less assertive, manic activities gone. Creative with positive energy. Optimistic, sensitive to lovely environment. Peaceful, a peacemaker, not bothered by irritations. Idealistic dreams and goals. Feels reasonable and tolerant of self and others.
Thank you. So here it kind of peaks and then starts going down. And right here where the fold was is about where ovulation happens. But the author likens it to the tides of the ocean. Here's where the tide is coming in, and then everything's becoming life is washing in to shore. It's a fertile time, but it's more peaceful than back here. But these 2 weeks are the easiest weeks often in the cycle of for those who are still having their periods. So it's good to, if you can, schedule more stressful things during that time. Like if hostessing is stressful to you, probably best not to do it toward the end. I know we have to be flexible and we can't always schedule all of that, but if you can schedule the more stressful things in your life in the beginning of your cycle, it's easier. Okay, the third week. Does someone want to read that list? You can come from over there too if you want. Thank you. Oh, maybe you should read this if you can, going down through here. I didn't make enough space when I was making my thing that I realized I should have for the things that happen right during the ovulation time.
Okay, so we have. Did you want me to like this, or is you want me to include this right?
Read that first, and then this.
Okay. So we have ovulation, your estrogen is rising again, progesterone is rising, and your passive, introverted, receptive, sexual readiness, strong motherly feelings, sentimental feelings toward children, husband, and tolerant, content, and accepting. And then you have week three, rising estrogen and overriding progesterone. Variable feelings up and down, the doldrums, moody and gloomy, apprehensive, feeling immobilized, is that word? Doubting herself, slowing down, disliking pressure, discouraged, less friendly and outgoing, losing sense of well-being, longing for more peace, impatient more, losing interest in goals, lacking coordination, and less goal-oriented.
Thank you. Just kind of a sense, a feeling of foreboding. The doldrums. No extra energy. But you can see, can't you? Why these are different? Like, look at the progesterone. How here it wasn't even a factor, but it's really rising now. And then about at the beginning of the fourth week, it's at its highest. Then it starts going down. And that's when the PMS feelings really come into full force. So does someone want to read the last column, please? Thank you. Okay, the estrogen and progesterone fall, very reactive, irritable, touchy, nervous, moody, unstable, unable to concentrate, sensitive to noise, unpredictable outbursts, quarrelsome, impatient, childlike, unreasonable, lack of self-confidence, loss of interest in hobbies and tasks, not ambitious, melancholy, withdrawn, awkward, shaky, food binges, craves,
cravings, yeah.
Sweets or spices especially.
She kind of gives the story of a lady just to make it all fit into one person's life, and she talks about how this lady in her first week, oh, she just has lots of ideas of what she's going to do, and she has the energy and gets it done. Then the second week, it's more focused in on her little herbal garden, and she even thinks of having a fountain in the middle and, you know, having lavender, and she'll be known as the Lavender Lady. And then the third week, it's just, oh, and before that, you know, when her children were laying their socks all over the place, it was kind of irritating, but she knew that they'd eventually learn, and, you know, she thought, boys will be boys, and she was patient with them. Then the third week, it started to get more irritating, and she just, the things that she admired in her husband just started grating on her nerves. And in the beginning, you know, she was so thankful for the house. It had been her decision partly to get this old farmhouse that they could renovate, but back in this
stage of the cycle, it became all her husband's idea and was so, so irritating, and she lashed out at him. And, you know, it's just so changeable. I don't want to read you this thing that was written over 2,000 years ago by a Greek poet. So it's hardly new that this is the way women are. He says, she has two different kinds of mood. One day she's all smiles and happiness. There's no better wife, nor prettier. Then another day, there will be no living with her. You can't get within sight or come near her. Or she flies into a rage and holds you at a distance, like a bitch with pups, cantankerous and cross with all the world. The sea is like that also. Often it lies calm and innocent and still. Then it will go wild and turbulent. This woman's disposition is just like the sea's, since the sea's temper also changes all the time. They might not have known exactly what all caused it, but we have a better understanding now. And even when Jean Lush was first practicing and talking with women and starting to pick up these patterns, these regular cycles, some of the professionals didn't agree with her. They didn't feel like it had anything to do with hormones. But then as time went on, I think, you know, as they started being able to measure stuff, they caught on. It is predictable. So we have to learn to live with these cycles. And I have some ideas here. You know, even though we're feeling really awful sometimes, we generally know how to separate feelings from actions and carry out our responsibilities quite well. Sometimes it's not as bad to other people looking on as we're feeling inside, hopefully. And we can get through it. And it helps you to know this too shall pass. And I think I know it does impact younger women, because I saw when my daughters started, even before they started their periods, I started sensing the ups and downs in their moods. But they say that it tends to worsen as you get older, and also with the birth of each child. I'm not sure how much of you would agree with that, but I think the time for me when I noticed it the most would have been in my 30s, so that would be true for me. I started really being more disappointed with myself, but that also leads me into the second part, which is the romantic phase. And this, when it's termed the romantic phase, it's not romantic in the sense that all is right with the world, but it's more that the woman is tending to hold on to romantic, idealistic dreams. So in this phase, we're often in... How many women in this group are 25 to 35 years old? Okay. Thank you. So this can be for you. During this time, you're often taking on more responsibility. You're mothers sometimes. You're married, you're raising children. You're expected to do more in a lot of ways. But you've been planning and dreaming for this time of life, and so you still have a strong belief that if you do everything right, your Prince Charming will come through. You know, if you just do your part, things will work out. You still have those dreams and goals. But this is a time when stress can be building. And stress worsens PMS, premenstrual tensions. And sometimes when you're having children, you have postpartum blues, which is caused by hormonal changes also. I explained that at the top of the second page. And if it's more severe, it's postpartum depression. So there's new things that our hormones are having us experience during this phase of life too. I don't know that I had a real... You know, I've had a bit of a postpartum blues maybe, but never a postpartum depression. But one of my sisters did. It was because of a thyroid thing for her then. But, you know, that's very, very scary. If any of you have had that, that must have been quite terrifying to wonder how long it's going to take to get out of that low time when you have a new baby and you're wanting to take care of it and you have no energy. We definitely need medical help. Some of those times in our lives. I have to keep moving along, but I did want to ask at each stage if some of you have things that helped you, like when here in the tips I talk about following a hypoglycemic diet, that can help this period of life. Do any of you have any tips for that stage of life that helped you during the time when, yes?
Just the first 5 minute walk outside.
A 5 minute walk outside. Yeah, exercise is so important. I'm really one that gets reinvigorated and refreshed by nature, and I take my daily walk when I'm home. I like the exercise, but I also like that it just renews my mind, and even trees give off beneficial chemicals. Did you know that? That helps you more if you're outside getting your exercise than if you're inside. Any more tips? Okay, midlife malaise, 35 to 45 years old. How many of you are that in that age range? Okay. This I think was my hardest part of life. I probably did fall into that thing of the former period of life being, you know, where you think if you just do your part, everything's going to turn out the way you want it. And then when you get to this stage, you start feeling like, is this all there is? And you kind of feel all given out. Your parents might be needing you more. Your children might be into their teens where they don't like you anymore and they're distancing themselves from you. Some of them are leaving home. And so you just feel a little more like, what is there in life? Like you've put so much energy into your children. And your husband also might be sort of becoming more distant because he might be experiencing his own midlife slump. I'm saying slump here instead of crisis. You've often heard of midlife crisis, but sometimes it's not that severe. For me, I think I was just angry because there were certain things that we talked about doing before we were married that it seemed like Merle no longer wanted to do. And I felt like that was part of the agreement, and it was part of my goals in life. And it was a hard time for me. I really tried to let go of some of it, and I just had a hard time. And finally, we found a way to work it out. But it took a process, and it took some agony. So I see some of you nodding. I think you must have gone through similar things in your lives. If you haven't, maybe it can make you more compassionate to some of us who have these hard times to know that there are chemical reasons too. During this time, they think that there's slow, subtle hormonal changes that are happening in our bodies. Our ovaries are becoming more sluggish, and so your body has to pull in estrogen from other places. And as I understand, estrogen is stored in fat, but it just takes, it's a little more complicated for your body to find all the estrogen it needs to keep your cycles going during this time, and it affects your moods. But notice that paragraph that's just below the middle of the page. How do we get to this malaise? Like the malaise means a sense of discomfort, uneasy, indisposed, slowed down, droopy feeling. And for me, it was more anger and just negativity. We often have been giving a lot and not nourishing ourselves enough. And, you know, we learn these things as we go on. Sometimes when we're in the middle of giving so much, we don't think about it. But then it kind of catches up with us. So I would encourage you to nurture your friendships with other ladies. Try to be in ladies' groups. With your husband, it might be a lean, hard time, but it will eventually pass. And one thing that helped me, marriage vitality is greater in this phase than in any other phase. But one thing that helped me in this stage was to set a goal 1 year to do something kind and loving to my husband every week. And I would write it down. It was just, and that really helped my attitudes. Like, just doing something deliberately made me have the feelings of love and appreciation. And so we can take ourselves in hand. We don't have to be victims, but we have to make effort to build our marriages and relationships. Another thing that can happen is, you know, if you dated someone else, you can feel like, you can think more of, oh, it's not very enjoyable with my husband. If I had married that other person, maybe it would have worked out. You know, that kind of thinking. Well, it doesn't lead to, that kind of thinking doesn't lead to life. We pray, we seek God, and we have to trust that He has guided us and led us. And it might just be a developmental phase, a lot like puberty. You have to pass through it to get to the next phase. Tips for this phase, watch your weight, because your metabolism is starting to slow down a little more. And exercise, she had mentioned that before. Develop tension-reducing skills, or else it will discharge in physical symptoms instead. What are some tension-reducing skills that some of you have found helpful?
Long, hot showers.
Long, hot showers. Or baths. That's even more relaxing for some. Yes?
Taking a snooze on the recliner.
Okay, snooze on the recliner. For me, often, at different stages of my life, a 15-minute nap in the afternoon just gave me a boost. And I could, you know, I could wake myself after 15 minutes. For Merle, that doesn't work. He tends to sleep longer, and then he feels worse that he wakes up when he takes a nap than if he doesn't take a nap. But for me, it just gives me the boost I need. Reading can be refreshing, you know, just setting a little bit of time aside. There's just so many different ways that can be refreshing to you. Flower arranging for some. Any other suggestions?
Laughing.
Pardon?
Laughing.
Laughing. Yeah. Yeah, that releases endorphins too, I would suppose. The pleasure things in our brains. She talks about developing mystique during this section of life. Mystique, it kind of seems like a mysterious word, which I guess would make sense since they are both part of the same root word. But it's an air of an attitude of mystery and reverence developing around something. And she says that it usually develops more in women over 40. So isn't that kind of neat? You know, so often in our culture, we think of aging as a negative thing. And in a lot of cultures, they value age. And I would hope that in our Mennonite circles, we would value it more than in general culture. But think of yourself as you're growing older, that you can become a woman of mystique. Sort of a bit of a mystery. Fascinating would be part of it, I would say. You can have more poise. You've experienced life. You know that there's ups and downs, but you came through it. You can handle it with God's help. And you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. One good verse, I think, for this is Proverbs 8:12. Will someone read that, please? Proverbs 8:12. Raise your hand if you're willing. Thank you.
Proverbs 8:12. I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions.
Yes, I wisdom dwell with prudence. And what's the last part?
and find out knowledge of witty inventions.
That's interesting. Find out knowledge of witty inventions. I just read that the other morning when I was thinking of Mystique, and I thought, well, that could fit. Wisdom being prudent, but in my translation it says it a little differently at the end. I think I have the NIV here. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. So just the, hopefully you've grown in knowing when to speak and when not to, when things are going to be helpful, when they're not. You know, all that takes a process of learning. And isn't it so nice that God is patient with us and loves us through all the different stages? That's one thing I had to learn to accept more from God. Just like I look at my newborn granddaughter, I just saw her for the first last week, and I love her, even though she's fussy, and she's has definite opinions, and she cries, and then suddenly stops, and then cries again. It was kind of hard to get pictures of her without her mood swings. I loved her anyway. I love her. And God loves us. And He will guide us through our different developmental stages. And I think if we take that truth, that God loves us in a deeper and deeper way into our hearts, that, you know, the Christian's armor is the belt of truth. For me, one of the primary truths that gives me a lot of confidence and hope is God loves me. And He saved me. That's the helmet of salvation. Those parts of the armor, if you think of God's truths to you as being part of that, it can be such a blessing. And it's such a core part of you. It doesn't matter so much what goes on around you, what happens to you. You're still loved. This type of woman, the woman of Mystique, is a mystery to men and women because she involves herself deeply in the things of God. And she has learned to appreciate beauty. Beauty creates energy. And, you know, I see women doing beautiful things so much in so many different ways. For me, I'm not so much an interior decorator. I would say my house is nice and neat, but I look at other women's houses and I enjoy seeing how they create beauty. And if any of you have gone into houses that men decorate, usually you can tell the woman's touch is missing. Okay, going on to the next stage, menopause. That is, you know, varies a lot too. When that happens for women, they consider it to be premature if it's before 40. But sometimes there has to be surgical interventions that cause menopause early. And actually, if you have had to have medical interventions that affect even like one of your ovaries, it still affects your hormones. And I'm not sure if I can say this clearly. I might have to read it from her book. Any kind of change in the flow of the different chemicals does upset the balance, and so it can cause more mood swings and depression and things like that, just for you to be aware of. Surgical removal of any part of the reproductive system causes an irreparable break in hormonal pathways. For example, just because the ovaries are left intact doesn't mean there won't be an estrogen deficiency. Most of the blood supply for the ovaries is supplied by the uterus. I thought that was interesting. We won't get into that too much, but that can help you to be understanding toward women who might go into depression or something after they've had some surgeries. So menopause usually happens between 45 and 55, and this is the autumn season of life. Childbearing years are over. There again, it's very individual. Often there's heat flashes, erratic sleep patterns and night sweats. For me, I often just get really sweaty on my chest, and I kind of wake up about 4 o'clock and just feel like I have to wipe myself off. Even though I'm past menopause, it can continue for a while.
bladder changes, you lose some of your, well, what would it be? Like the elasticity, there's just more, it's easier to leak when you don't want to. But there's things that can help. The Kegel exercise can help you to strengthen your bladder muscles. And often we start losing bone mass. And I'm fine-featured and lighter, and that means I am more likely to have osteoporosis, which I have now. So I'm taking medication for that. But you know, you just face different things at different phases of life. They used to have women go on hormone replacement therapy a lot more frequently than they do now because they have found that it does cause cancer. But sometimes, if you really have severe symptoms, it might be a good remedy for you. And the emotional symptoms may include fear of growing old, irritability, hyperactivity, loss of self-esteem, depression, mood changes, feeling of sadness and loss, dissatisfaction, poor judgment, loss of sexual desire. But, you know, usually one woman doesn't necessarily have all of these, but we often experience some of them. Jean Lushbaum, post-menopause, the time when her periods were over, to be the best time of life. She found that she had new energy, and she thought it was the best, yeah, like I said, the best time of life, and that might be true for you too. I have found it's definitely a time of life when I'm more even-keeled. I'm not so up and down anymore. That's a blessing to me, and I think to my husband. And we have more, because we don't have our children at home anymore, we can volunteer more, get involved with other stuff, although we also don't have as much energy as we used to as we get older. But availability is more important than capability, and we can keep growing and learning. And I like the verse from Psalm 92:14 that talks about bearing fruit in old age. So our fruit, even though we're past the childbearing years and that might be a loss, we can still bear fruit in other ways. They will still, I'm going to start at verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in him." So let's aim for bearing fruit in old age. And cultivating joy. It's one of the ripest fruits of the Christian life, and like all fruit, it must be grown. How do you cultivate joy?
Anne Voskamp's book, 1,000 Gifts, I read that how many years ago, and I think it changed my life, just all the little things all throughout the day, and there's so many.
Okay, she's saying, I'll say it for the microphone, Anne Voskamp's book, 1,000 Gifts, how that it changed her life. That was a really impacting thing for me, too. At one of our ladies' staff fellowships, we had that book as a theme. I didn't read the whole book before it, but we were each given a little notebook to write down 1,000 things that we're thankful for. And that's a good discipline. And I kept on going then after 1,000 until my book got full. She has a very poetic way of doing it, just enjoying a sunset or a flower. There's so many things around us for us to tune into. So that's one way to cultivate joy, being thankful. Yes.
Small or large, but it's however. I found so much joy in going to assisted living and other ones weekend walk with several of the residents. We don't often have very many, and we go very slowly. It's not an exercise walk with me necessarily, but we get to visit, and there's so many times I go thinking, what's really the point? Is it really that needful? What am I doing? And I always come away feeling blessed by them. And they share stories with me and are appreciative that I come.
Could you hear? She volunteers at a nursing home, assisted living home, and just investing in others makes her feel joyful, and they tell her stories that she enjoys too. So that's one of the ways we can volunteer. I've done some volunteering in that same area too. Thrift stores often need volunteers. But nurturing joy by service is a good way.
I am a very, I'm a visual person. Things I look at inspire me. Mm-hmm. And so on my table, I have this little corner, and I have one motto that says, "Today I choose joy." Mm-hmm. And all around that, I have things that make me happy.
Good.
Gifts from my children, or some inspirational words, mm-hmm. and just surrounding myself with things that remind me of something else, mm-hmm. that give me life and joy.
Okay, she says she's a visual person, so she has little things that give her joy at a certain place that just remind her. And I had a friend who had some kind of a little shelf on her wall. It had several shelves on it, but it became a thing that was like a travel log of different things that happened to their family. She would choose a symbol that symbolized that thing that happened to the family, and then as time went on, they had more and more. But I like that idea. I've never done that same thing, but it reminds me of what you're saying. You young mothers might be able to use that idea. We still have about 4 minutes, so I'm glad we have a little bit of time to if anyone has any questions you want to ask or things you want to discuss about emotional basis in a woman's life.
I have a question.
Okay.
About pregnancy. For those 9 months, are there still tides, or is it just sort of one big muddle this 9 months?
She's saying, what about pregnancy? I don't know as much from... I would guess you know better about that. You had your 4 pregnancies in a shorter period of... No, maybe not than I did. But I would guess there's changes too as you're accepting the pregnancy. Oh, there has to be changes. Do any of you know how to speak to that? Of what are the hormonal changes that happen in a pregnancy? What are your observations?
Well, I haven't really paid attention. I know that I have OD, but I haven't really paid attention to ups and downs of when they are.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I think it's different for different women. I think for me, it felt like the first 3 months were very much like the PMS. 3 months of PMS. The middle 3 months were like the months when I had that energy.
Okay.
That you talked about. Mm-hmm. The second week. Mm-hmm. And then the last 3 months was just, like all again, it's almost like after the period.
Okay. I was thinking of that, by the 4 stages of our cycle before we go through menopause. It's almost like the midlife malaise is almost like being permanently in this time too. So maybe there are sections of being pregnant that are like that. For some women who are just incapacitated, they can hardly get out of bed. That would be a harder pregnancy, I would think, emotionally and spiritually too, than for those of us who can just breeze through it and not have so much change.
Any other questions? There was that one psalm that I wanted to share in the first section of, well, when ladies are in the stage of life when they're having children. Isaiah 40:11 is one that was comforting to me at that time. It talks about God. I'm not going to read it, but if you want to take that note down. It talks about God being really tender to the young and to those who are bearing the young. Some of you might even have it memorized, but that's just, it makes me feel like God is patient, extra patient with young mothers who are carrying a lot of responsibility on them. Thank you. Thank you for your help.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.